Amen.
No. Oh, toss it, Dad, toss it. Toss his, yes, got it. He did toss Jack or toss it my Christmas tree. Peace of God, amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, amen.
Amen.
I told my wife I should just let little Maxton preach this morning. We'd be done earlier with maybe more joy. Yeah, little Maxton. Guess how old he is? 2. Maybe he's close to 3. That would help, but man, 11. So keep encouraging little Maxton, and 24 years from now, he can be sitting here. How about that? God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you because of God the Father, through his love and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Would you be my neighbor, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Cool. From 1968 to 2001, 4 generations grew up with Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Now, when Fred Rogers taught us about being a neighbor, to whom was he speaking? To me or the other guy? To me, right? How scriptural of that Christian minister, right? All of us grew up knowing something about Mr. Rogers and something about neighborliness. So I thought that every once in a while we need to do a quiz just to see how aware we are of our relationship with God. And so I thought, let's quiz on neighborliness, focusing on 3 areas of life that God calls us typically to be a neighbor, okay? So, first question, or first thought. Does the Christian enter into marriage primarily to give or to get? Okay, one bold person, right with the Apostle Paul. Guys, we're called to take the lead on this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Sounds like less me and a whole lot of Jesus being a neighbor to my wife. How many of us, how many Christians, or when the Christian goes into a new job or a career, does the Christian go into that job or career primarily to give or to get? And this might be harder. Come on, I need the paycheck. But what does Paul say? Again, Colossians 3. Obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Less me, more Jesus, more being a neighbor. Last one, does the Christian go into parenting primarily to give or to get? Well, I think we have the flavor of the Holy Spirit now. Paul says, again, Ephesians 6, fathers, do not frustrate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Less me, more Jesus, all about being a neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? You know, I think that Jesus Christ would have, and if I can say this, that Jesus Christ would have agreed with Mr. Rogers. It is a beautiful day to be a neighbor, especially when we recognize and understand how we are God's salt and his light to impact our world to his glory and to the growing of the neighborhood. Let us mind together our sermon text for today from Matthew 5, 13 to 20. I will read the white portions. You read the portions in yellow, please. Matthew 5, 13 to 20. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Your turn. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the words of our God. You know, friends, Jesus begins this section of Scripture with that simple phrase, "You are the salt of the earth." And it's amazing to me how the Greek helps so much here, because in the Greek, the "you" is plural. You are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the salt of the earth. All of you are the salt of the earth. Now, salt has great potential, would you agree? In each and every grain. Every grain of salt begins to flavor. Oh man, this is a great burger. Every grain of salt begins to preserve. Oh, I just love my grandma's dill pickles. And every grain of salt begins to melt. Safe roads out there for you and me today, right? Because of salt. Salt has great potential, wouldn't you agree? But salt tends to work best in quantity, as a collective whole. You know, if I would try to salt my eggs with one grain, not enough for this guy. If I would say, "Honey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to salt the driveway," and I would go upstairs and poke my head out of a second floor window and launch one grain at the driveway, not so much. Salt tends to be best used in measured quantities to the glory, or the joy, rather, of our cardiologist and to the glory of God, right? Salt together is saltier. Salt together gets the job done when each grain does its part. Why do you and I do this Christian thing? Why do we walk the Christian walk? Well, hopefully it's because the Christian thing is as real for you as salt is real. The blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness preserves us for eternal life. The forgiveness of sins, that message creates faith in our hearts, puts hope in our hearts that will never fade away, even as we are facing our physical death someday, because I will rise in Jesus, my Savior. And the words of Jesus flavor our lives and bring us great joy. Think of things like this. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Do we grab hold of that one? Think of what Jesus says. You will be blessed if when you hear the word of God, you grab hold of it and trust it and love it and obey it. And as you're digging, you'll find things like this. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You know, it's easy to be a neighbor to someone when we know that our best number one neighbor is Jesus Himself, God Himself, who loves us dearly. And then Jesus' love in the sacrament, right? Take and eat, take and drink, body and blood for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. And that forgiveness melts the coldness and the darkness of guilt. and brings back into our life the shining face of our God. You know, God started it all with one grain of salt, Jesus Christ. And he touches us one by one by one by one. And together, we are better. And it even gets better. Why do you and I share the Christian walk? Why do we share the Christian walk? Well, because together is saltier. For this next part, I need to have some volunteers ready to stand. We need to create a salt shaker, okay, of God's people. So, brave, strong, and true. More than one can stand up, but hopefully we have one for every grain of salt. We need someone whose spiritual gift is prayer. If you are a prayer warrior, you're always praying about stuff and praying for people, please stand for a few minutes. I ask nothing else of you but to stand if you are a prayer warrior. We have a grain of salt. We can have more than one if you'd like. I'd like our salt and pepper shaker, our salt shaker, full, more full. Thank you, Justin. All right, we'll add some more. Oh, yeah, please, Candy. All right, here we go. Next. Who has the spiritual gift of actively loving people in need? Thank you. We had a long pause. Thank you. We had a long pause last night. I'm like, oh, we can't be hypocritical in front of Jesus, so I can't say pretend. No, this is real. Thank you. Salt. Grains of salt. Okay. Guys, be careful on this one because your wife may ask you to sit down. Who of us believes we have the spiritual gift of leadership? Very good. Thank you. Spiritual gift of leadership. All right. Who of us believes that we have the gift of hospitality, of people skills, where we could place you at the front door of worship and you could say hi to everybody. Welcome to God's place. Welcome to God's house. Welcome to worship. See, our salt shaker's getting full, okay? Now, let's see. Would you stand for us, young man? What's your first name? Luke. Luke, you are our money guy, okay? God has blessed you with a ton of money, and you love to spend it on Jesus, okay? Thank you. Awesome. So, all of us, Jesus says, you, plural, are the salt of the earth. Each grain preserves and flavors and melts. When we hang around our Jesus like this, we get saltier. When we hang around each other, the world senses Jesus, even tastes Jesus in us, and is curious about us and about him. Together, we are better. Now, in our church body, we tend to send missionaries out like we launch one guy from the second floor window with his family. Wouldn't it be cool if all of us said, hey, let's all get up and leave Muskego and move to some place that needs a church that just teaches the truth about Jesus and his love, and we all got up and left together and moved. Wouldn't that be cool? Jesus is the salt, preserving, flavoring, melting. He's the strength, but then all of the varied gifts to flavor. Wouldn't it not be cool to, with that potential, to go out and sing to the world, it's a beautiful day in our neighborhood, wherever we land. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Won't you be our neighbor? And we invited people to join the salt shaker that is us. But unfortunately, most of us have multiple callings. Our lives are complicated, and maybe we just can't do that. So sit down and blend back into the salt shaker that is the bridge at St. Paul's. And just think about, as we move through the rest of our time together, think about how can we be salty right here where we're at, preserving, flavoring, and melting. But before we go on, imagine if one of us decided that it was no longer worthwhile to hang around Jesus and we stopped hearing the word and coming to worship. And we began to lose our saltiness. What real value would I be to my neighbor across the backyard fence if all I brought was me and not my Jesus? What value would I be to you in conversation if in my emptiness talking to you, all I did was suck the spiritual life out of you rather than putting into you the salt that preserves and flavors and melts? You know, what would happen to the real salt shaker on the table if it began to lose its saltiness one grain at a time? What happens to salt that loses its saltiness, Jesus told us? It is thrown out and trampled underfoot. So Jesus says, I'm going to encourage him more. I'm going to give him another picture. He says, you are, and I'm going to paraphrase from our scripture reading, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop you can't hide. Don't hide the light. Place it on its stand to give light to everyone in the house. Let your light shine. Live your life for your Father in heaven, that the world may see him in you and praise the God who makes you shine. Have you ever set out with the goal in life to be a dim bulb? Maybe on a team or in a circle of friends or in the family? Heavens no. But have you ever been afraid to shine for Jesus in your earthly walk? Have you ever actually reached out to the dimmer switch and turned down the voltage so that you could blend right into the darkness of this world? Hey, can one of you shine so I don't have to? You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You, plural, you. You are the light of the world. My friends, we cannot shake that. To belong to Jesus is to shine. And we don't have to be weird about that. We can just shine as we love, right? Let us grab hold of that fact and own it today. But how? Well, Jesus says that we shine when we do good deeds. Deeds that give glory to our Father in heaven. When God is our God, we believe and trust that he is the one who created this world. He designed our bodies. He determined what healthy relationship looks like. He determines what love is and does and looks like. And when you and I unconditionally love all people, even those who in our mind are difficult to love, we reflect the love of our Father in heaven. When you and I do everything in every moment, in every way that is pleasing to God, you and I shine differently than the darkness of this world. But what happens? What's it like? What if I am like the world? And I give the world more Nathan than my Father in heaven? That happened to me in this past week. A test from my God. I was on the phone dealing with a credit card issue, and I was stuck in that voicemail tree. If you would like to check your balance, please press 1. For 30 plus minutes, calling back a couple times, trying, and by the end of the 30 plus minutes, my blood pressure is going up, my patience is gone, frustration has set in. And then I finally get a living body, and the person's heritage language is not mine. And I am struggling. And in the great irony of life, I was working on this sermon at the same time. And Jesus said, Nate, let your light so shine that they may see your Father in heaven. And the light bulb goes on. There is no moment in our lives, no corner of our world, no decision that I have to make, no relationship I have with anyone, even someone halfway across the world from me that I don't even know, that Jesus does not claim for himself and say to us, love with true love. He says, until heaven and earth disappear, Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Every word of God matters and counts for every individual soul. And so in that moment, Jesus reined me in, forgave the rotten attitude of my heart, and helped me to shine for him. And it was great at the end. Well, thank you so much for helping me today. Won't you be my neighbor? Now, I didn't actually do that because that would have been weird. But the Lord brought me where I needed to be. How important is it for the light of Jesus to shine in every moment, in every space and place of our lives? Well, what is the alternative? To shine with the darkness of this world? Condoning sin that always hurts, sin that always brings death to relationships? Jesus says, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do likewise will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. My friends, is there any sin that is a small and innocent little thing? Is there any sin that is a small and innocent little thing? You know, Jason was a young man who was confirmed in a group of believers just like this. But his driving under the influence eventually got him killed, and it was his fault. But it did not help that the abuse of alcohol had been modeled for him by an older brother who said, who's it going to hurt? Just a little bit of fun, a little innocent fun. Janet is a young woman who has just come out of an abusive marriage. It was tough. The counseling will go on for quite a while. But she is just learning again to value herself to the glory of Jesus. She is learning to reclaim her voice, to speak and to advocate for herself and for her children. And she is recognizing that her ex-husband's issues are his issues and not hers, in spite of his voice still in her head. Even though the only lesson he had learned from his father was to abuse those who are closest to you. Just how this family rolls. Just a little family thing. You know, Jesus says to you and me, by faith, members of God's family, and how he rolls. He says to us, let the light in you, that's Jesus, let the light in you so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God's ways, God's love, God's care, God's safety, God's light. Friends, do you think that Jesus ever sang at his carpenter's bench in the days and weeks and months and years prior to him being formally baptized into his ministry? Do you think he sang? Do you think that maybe Jesus looked ahead and for the fun of it saw Mr. Rogers? And I don't know what it would sound like in Hebrew. That would be fun to try. But maybe Jesus picked up English real quick and maybe he sang, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Nazareth. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. And then maybe he looked at his wood, and he looked up at his Father in heaven. And he prayed, and he said, Father, they need me to be their neighbor. I know the darkness. I know their struggles. And Father, only if I am a neighbor to them first will they have any clue how it could be different. And only if I pay for their sins with my own blood and declare that sin forgiven, only then will they know how to love. So, Father, when it's my time, to formally shine for you for 3 years. Father, bless my work. For I am here to be their neighbor. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Great God and Lord, we come before you today with thanksgiving and praise. Because you, from before the world began, looked upon what would be. And in love, you determined to be our neighbor. Not just our neighbor by closeness and proximity. You created us. We are from your hand. We are from the matter, the stuff of this earth. And you walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of every day. Not just because of that close proximity are you our neighbor, giving us all the blessings of this earth that we thank you for, the bodies that we have, the relationships that we have, but most importantly, from before the creation of the world, you looked ahead and decided to be our neighbor in the true sense, unconditionally, loving us in spite of the sin, loving us in spite of the Nathan inside of us all, loving us in spite of the selfishness that challenges our everyday walk with you. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the carpenter's son who set aside yourself at age 30 and determined to be our neighbor by doing the unthinkable. You took upon yourself the sin of the entire world. By your blood, you paid for it. By your time in hell, you paid for it. And by your rising from the dead, you have made it so real. You are our preservative for eternal life. You are the one who flavors each and every day so that we can survive the hardships of this world and not just survive but thrive. And then you are the one who helps us to melt the darkness in our neighborhoods by how we love and forgive the people closest to us in our very homes, in our very families, the people in our physical neighborhoods around Muskego or New Berlin or wherever we live. But you have also equipped us to melt the world by speaking in love with a person so different from me around the globe, just trying to do their job, just trying to help me with credit card stuff. Lord, help me to shine for you. Help me to take every moment, every corner, every decision, every relationship, and live it for you. For that's how you salted this earth. You sent one grain, your son, and from it has grown the Christian church, this amazing salt shaker of spiritual life, this amazing light that shines for all the world to see. Thank you for making us a part of that. And may we never forget what we deserve. May we always remember what you have given us in Jesus. And may we stand every day for you with our giftedness, with our joy, with our Jesus. And may we share him with our world, your world, each and every soul, one by one by one. Help us shine this week, dear Lord Jesus, for you. Help us preserve those around us for you. And thanks for salting us with your presence and your truth this day. We pray in your name, and together God's people say, amen.